Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to Mark chapter 4. Now, I'll give you a second if you want to run and go grab a Bible, everybody should have a Bible in front of you as we look at Mark chapter 4. I said grab a Bible, not a snack. Yeah, I see you. Yep, I know. You're going right for the refrigerator. Let's grab the Bible. I said the Bible, not a snack. Yeah. No, I'm just teasing you. You know, there's somebody right now that they're probably thinking, oh my word, how did he know I was going to get a snack? Just kidding. But as I start my message, if I was to start it in chapter 3 of Mark, then we would see a couple of things that are happening in the life of Jesus. At the end of chapter 3, we find Jesus actually up all night. He was up all night praying, and he was deciding on the 12 disciples that were going to travel with him exclusively on his journey and on his ministry. And so at the beginning of chapter 4, we find that Jesus actually wakes up early in the morning, and he begins to teach. So he didn't get sleep the night before. He wakes up early. He begins to teach. Crowds begin to follow him, and the crowds actually become so much, and they're pushed up against the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus decides to get into a boat and teach from the boat. Now, this is actually genius on Jesus' part, because he knows that when you're out on water, words travel, and they actually travel and can hear pretty clear. He didn't probably have to speak very loud in order to reach a large crowd of people. So let's put this together, what we have so far. It's late. He was up most of the night. Jesus wakes up in the morning. He begins to teach. And then he sits in a boat, and he teaches all day long. So this is where we're going to pick up the story in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, "And as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion." Well, now we at least understand why Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. I want you to think about it from his perspective. The only place that he could find rest was literally in the middle of the night on a boat during a storm with 12 other dudes. I mean, like, to think about the fact that that is the only place that he could find rest is really amazing. But this rest wouldn't last long. As we see the rest of 38, it says the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence." Now, other translations read, "Peace." He said to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. They thought to themselves, "Who is this man?" They asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, I believe that this is a timely message for us, but not in the reasons that maybe you think this morning. I want you to know this is more than a peace in the midst of the storm message. I think that there's another perspective here that we can utilize and think about in light of what's happening in the world around us. So this is what we know. We know, number one, that there was a terrible storm. We also know that the disciples wake Jesus, that Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves, and that the disciples were really freaked out because the wind and the waves actually obeyed what Jesus said. But by the way, the creator can control the creation. I think that's an important reminder when we think about what Jesus is doing as he calms the wind and the waves. He was the creator, so he has authority over the creation. Now, we know these things, but my question, and what I think offers a different perspective to the story, is this. What about the other boats? I mean, how often have you read this story and you thought to yourself, okay, we know what Jesus is doing and we know what's happening to the disciples in the boat, but what about the other boats? Verse 36 indicates that, and it tells us that there were other boats that followed. Now, we don't know how many boats followed, but we can imagine that there were large crowds. And if there were people that were still trying to draw closer to Jesus, that there were probably many boats that had followed out into the middle of the water with them. Here's the thing. All the other boats experienced the same storm. All the boats, every boat on the Sea of Galilee that night experienced the same storm. In fact, when we look at this story, I think there are many same story experiences that we can all relate to here. Sometimes we feel like Jesus is sleeping during the storms of our life. I know, and I can say that there are times where I feel like, Jesus, are you even paying attention to what's happening right now? And there's a lot of people who would consider that this morning. Some people are even thinking right now, how could Jesus allow this COVID-19 epidemic, this pandemic to happen? Many of us tend to be like the disciples in verse 38, and we ask Jesus, don't you care? But look at this story through the lens of the other boats on the water. Think about it from their perspective. Same type of boats, same storm. They're trying to figure out where to go. They're trying to figure out what to do. They're also trying to figure out how to even take shelter. There was wind. There was rain. The scripture says that the water was filling up the boat that the disciples were in, and we can only imagine that the water was capsizing and coming over the rails of the other boats as well, that they started to fill up with water. I'm sure that we could hear men screaming, you know, trying to figure out what do they need to do, and there was chaos, and there was fear, and then suddenly, the storm stops. Now, from the perspective of the disciples, they know why the storm stops. But from the perspective of the other boats that are on the water, suddenly something miraculous just happened. The storm ceased. No more wind. No more waves. No more chaos. No more screaming. All of a sudden, the winds and the waves, they were calmed. And I'm sure that evening, all of a sudden, I can just imagine that everything going so quiet that the other boats could hear Jesus in the pitch black speaking to his disciples. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Here's my point. Right now, the world is in the same storm. Everyone is experiencing the same wind, the same waves. And we're all trying to figure out what to do and how to take shelter. And like the disciples, there are a lot of people who are anxious and afraid. But if you're a believer, this is not a time to panic. In fact, this is not a time to be afraid. This is time to have faith and to show how Jesus and only Jesus can look at the storms of life and say, peace, be still. Jesus is the one waiting for us to acknowledge that he is in the boat in order to bring us peace. See, that's the one thing as I thought about preparing for this message. It was not that Jesus is not in every boat, because he's in every boat, but he's waiting for us to acknowledge his presence and to know that he is the only one during this time that can really, truly bring peace. An evangelist and author, Sheila Walsh, is quoted as saying, peace is not the absence of trouble, but instead the presence of God. The greatest difference between all the boats on the water was not the absence of the storm. Instead, it was the presence of Jesus in the midst of the storm. That was the greatest difference between all the boats. Let me just tell you, church, the world is desperate for peace. The world has been desperate for peace before the corona outbreak. The world will be desperate for peace in the midst of the corona outbreak, and it will be desperate for peace after this outbreak. Jesus revealed the truth and true peace when he came. But his campaign for peace in the world continues through his believers. Christians look strange having peace in a world filled with chaos. But that's what makes us strange. John 14, verse 27, as Jesus is instructing his disciples, because he knows that he's getting ready to leave, he gives them this incredible gift. He tells them about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 27, he says, I am leaving you with a gift. Now listen to the gift that he left them, peace of mind and heart. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go into the stores and I see empty shelves, I don't see a world in peace. When I hear that toilet paper is more important than water, I don't see a world that's in peace. Instead, Jesus actually says to his disciples, listen, this world is going to offer a lot of trouble, but I'm going to leave you a gift. I'm going to leave you a gift of a peace of mind and a peace in your heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. I don't know that we should be surprised that the world right now is not giving peace, because the world can't give peace. Only Jesus can. So don't be troubled or afraid. Now, maybe you're joining us this morning and this is your first opportunity to hear, or maybe you're looking for words of hope. Maybe you're looking for peace this morning. To you, I want to say welcome. You are in the right place. This is a great opportunity for you to hear why this man named Jesus is different, why he is the only one that can bring peace in the storm. So let me ask you, do you want to have peace? For all of us this morning, do we want to have peace? Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Philippians, he actually gives us a really incredible nugget of how we can have peace, even in the midst of the storms of our life. He says in verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, I love this passage of Scripture. In fact, if we were to break this passage of Scripture down, it would simply say, instead of worrying right now, pray. Pray. Pray about everything. Pray about all the things right now that are causing anxiety in you. Pray for the nation. Pray for the world. Just pray. Another thing it says is to tell God what you need. When was the last time that you communicated to God exactly what you need? Maybe right now what you need is peace in the storm. Maybe what you need right now is to know that everything is going to be okay. We can't guarantee that, but we know that in the midst of that storm, Jesus is present. Whatever it is that you need today, share that with God and be amazed at how he responds to you in that time. Another part of the passage says that we are to thank him for all he has done. I know that right now it might not look like he's done much, and we might not look like that there's much to be thankful for. But even in the midst of all of this, we can find opportunities to thank God and to look for ways to be thankful for what he has done. So thank him for what he has done. So when we put all those together, as Paul the apostle wrote to the people of Philippi, then you will experience God's peace. Then you will know what it is like to experience his peace. I want to offer that to you this morning. In a few minutes, we're just going to simply close in a word of prayer, and then Monty and Daniel are going to come back, and they're going to close us out in a song. And I want to give us just that opportunity just to be still and to know that he is God. Be still. Find peace. Know that the storms that you're experiencing right now, there are others that are experiencing the same storms. We're all not in the same boat, but we're all in the same storm. And what are we going to do with the opportunity that God has placed us in to be able to be people of peace, to be able to show a world that is desperate for peace where they can find it? Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these challenging words. I'm thankful that even in the midst of the storm, you were present, that you were moving in power, that even you felt that the boat and sleeping was the safest place that you could be in that moment, even in the midst of a storm. Right now, Lord, I pray that you remind our hearts that we are all in need of you, that we're all in the same storm. We're all trying to figure this out together. But Lord, I have to note that the distinctive difference for the disciples and for all the other boats was your presence. So Lord, help us to recognize your presence in our boat. Help us to recognize that you are there and that you desire to move in our lives and to offer us the peace that only you can provide. Lord, this world cannot offer peace. And we need to stop looking at our politicians and stop looking at our officials, our government officials. We need to even stop looking at our clergy, our staff, and to all these other places in order to try to manufacture or to provide peace for us, because they're not going to be able to do it. But instead, Lord, I pray right now that we would seek you, the Prince of Peace, to be the Lord of our lives and to know that these are not just desperate days. These are awesome opportunities for us to step up and to be people of peace and to offer that peace to the world, pointing them to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We thank you for this now, Lord. We continually pray this in your name. Amen.